good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Kony Kuk, Hini Kuk.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, victors!
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. You know, this is a show, like a magazine show, that really accentuates the positive in the Native community and also brings us in a talking circle and talk to people about what's happening, Wendy.
Robert, you're a conduit.
I thought you were going to read that.
I can. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986 Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with your COVID-19 questions.
We're both, all three of us are conduits here on our weekly show. And, you know, we like to discuss.
Daily show.
During the week. We like to discuss national and Twin City Native issues. And as you know, human issues are Native issues, and Native issues are human issues. And what a beautiful day here, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and last night I saw you were watching that colonized people that were getting butthurt from the king and queen. And, you know.
Oh, Meghan and Prince
Harry?
Harry, yeah. Harry and Meghan, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, really, listen, you know, I watched The Crown, so I know that what she's talking about, and I feel for her. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, whatever, you know, privilege. But, you know, I give her a lot of credit, and I give Harry a lot of credit for standing by his wife and getting out of there and starting their own life.
Yeah, definitely. And then we got the trial, and they're picking jurors, and that was delayed today, and that's going to be a heck of a time here in the Twin Cities.
It is going to be a heck of a time.
Today we have the author on, Diane Wilson. We're going to try and bring the show around in a positive way here after we get barged by Ogama with the news. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. But
yeah, we should get to Ogama.
Yeah, we will. And then no Dr. Stately today. Next week we'll have him back on, or maybe even a day during the week here. But we just wish him well and hope he feels better. But we got a great show ahead of us. And so without any further ado, that's a French word, ado, I would like to go to Ogama with the news.
Hi, Buju. It's Monday today, and I certainly feel like it's a Monday today. So I do have a little bit of news on what's happening on the Stop Line 3 front. So for everybody who has been following the Defund Line 3 campaign, there was kind of a major blow. Tara Hauska of GNU Collective released on Facebook today that nearly 3 weeks ago, she had wrote about the launch of the Defund Line 3 campaign. And since then, banks and CEOs and executives have received more than 600,000 emails and nearly 1,500 phone calls demanding that they stop funding Line 3.
Nice.
So then actually what ends up happening now is it's just kind of like a slap to the face kind of situation. Basically, what they did, instead of pulling that funding for the $2.2 billion loan that Enbridge was due for renewal on March 31st, they actually gave Enbridge an $800 million sustainability loan.
Yeah.
So it's not quite as much as the $2.2 billion, but they are still, after receiving all of that outpouring, they still just decided to slap around and go, nope, well, we're still going to fund them. And basically, she calls it greenwashing. So greenwashing is when people... apologies, my dog is very excited. So greenwashing is basically when they try to do these things and label it sustainability and fund those things, even though they're things that don't really help. So that was kind of a huge bummer. I think that it's good that it's less than the $2.2 billion, but it's still, you know, not great news. And I commend Tara for all of her work with that and for everybody else who's taken the time to divest and to make a statement and to call those banks, and I think maybe we just a little more pressure with them. What do you think, Robert?
Well, I think Tara's doing a great job, and she's going to be she's a semi-regular here, and we're going to try and nail her down. I just had discussion with her about coming on more often when I was up at Winona's Sugarbush event, and that was awesome too. So yeah, you know, whatever she's doing, she's a lawyer, she's also a board member of MN350 now, and she's doing due diligence and always has.
Exactly. Yep. So speaking of Stopping Line 3, today's Tuesday. So tomorrow, if you guys remember, there's Salsa Tuesdays to Stop Line 3 at 101 2nd Street West in Park Rapids. It starts at 6 p.m. and goes to 8 p.m. This upcoming week, so tomorrow, there's going to be tacos and horchata made special by Vallarta's Mexican restaurant. So, you know, turn up, dance, carry a sign, try to stop Line 3, talk about divesting, get free tacos. Sounds like a win-win-win-win-win event, everybody.
I'm hungry.
Yes.
Let's go to
hungry?
Yeah.
We'll go to Jay Selby. Hey. 169 Victoria Street, St. Paul.
Ooh, you're ad-libbing. I like it.
Yes. I have to try it next time I'm down there. And then coming up this Thursday in your neck of the woods, Robert, there's going to be Rise by the River to Stop Line 3, which is going to be at the Scenic Overlook of the Mississippi River in St. Paul. That one starts at 3 p.m. on Thursday. And it is to draw attention to the fact that Enbridge is poised to drill their pipeline underneath near the headwaters of the Mississippi. And what a disaster it's going to be when that pipeline breaks. We say when, not if. And to try to draw attention to get Biden to stop it. Everybody's going to gather at the Scenic Overlook for a rally start with songs and prayers, and then march along the river and across the Ford Parkway Bridge to deepen their connection with the water. It is going to be live streamed by MN350 for those who are unable to be present. And then you can RSVP to it, or I'm sorry, not MN350, Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, right. My mistake. And you can RSVP to that on the Minnesota Interfaith MNIPL website, and there should be an event link there. So that'll be exciting. You're going to be down there, right, Robert?
Yeah, and definitely we're going to have a guest probably Wednesday or Tuesday, Nina Berglund, probably Wednesday, and talk about this action. So we're really excited to be a conduit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then Saturday at Camp McGeezy from noon to three, there's going to be, it's called Building Community Through Crafts and Culture. So you can go to Camp McGeezy to make some crafts, share some stories, and build community, and talk about what a just transition away from fossil fuels looks like. Mass and social distancing, as always, required, and there is no cost for the event. So that would be a really cool thing for everybody who's, you know, crafty and maybe needs to get out and talk about things with sane people. That's always a good event.
Wendy's crap.
And then the other thing. That means she's sane. That's what that means.
Yes, it does. When she's sleeping.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys saw this today at all, but Minnesota Reformer had an article come out. It was either yesterday or today talking about how the violence intervention project in Little Falls in Thief River Falls, has seen an increase in calls for service and heard reports of sexual harassment at local businesses since pipeline construction started in December. They actually ended up requesting that Enbridge pay some of these costs to them to help, you know, securing hotel rooms and helping with the cost of helping people through something like a sexual assault. And that is part of what Enbridge is supposed to be doing with their funding, right? They're also funding for the police. They pay the police to help complete their mission, and they also paid the violence intervention project. And the article also noted that the cost of hotel rooms in that area has more than doubled, so that's made it a hardship for these organizations that help people who are in the midst of a hardship like that get hotel rooms. So this really does extend deep into the community.
Wow, we could talk so much about that, but Pini Gigi Ogama for the news and all you do for Native Roots Radio and for Turtle Island. Up next, Wendy.
Up next is Diane Wilson, and she is the author of The Seed Keeper.
Hey, we'll be right back.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strongheart's Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strongheart's Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
The show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and you can call them with your COVID-19 questions.
Hey, that's awesome. Hey, I want to wish everybody out there a happy International Women's Day 2021, Wendy.
Oh, thank you. You know, I said to Robert earlier today, I said, you know, babe, today's National Women's Day. And he said to me, well, what is any different? What's anything different about
it's
it?
It's always that day here. Right.
But we're really excited because we have Diane Wilson. She is the author of The Seed Keeper. That's the book we're going to be talking about today, but she's also written a memoir, Spirit Car Journey to a Dakota Past, and a nonfiction book, Beloved Child, A Dakota Way of Life. She is the executive director for the Native American Food Sovereignty Alliance, a national coalition of tribes and organizations working to create sovereign food systems for Native people. She is a Midwakan descendant enrolled on the Rosebud Reservation, and she lives in Schaefer, Minnesota. So welcome, Diane. It's so, we're honored to have you on today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah,
we're excited to talk about the things that are going on, but also your book. So why don't we talk about that? And we were reading about it, and we do have the book. And one of the things, let's talk about the inspiration of the book and about this Lakota Dakota woman.
Yes, well, I've been working with seeds for about 20 years now. And I first heard about them when I started volunteering at a little farm down in Farmington where they had these old seeds, Cherokee Trail of Tears corn. They had 800-year-old tobacco. And I started volunteering and just fell in love with these beautiful old seeds that were carrying stories from the families and the communities that had grown them for many, many years. And then the spark that started really the story that became The Seed Keeper was when I was participating on the Dakota Commemorative March, and I heard about the Dakota women in 1862, just before, it was right after the war of 1862 and before they were about to be removed from the state. And in order to make sure that they could still take care of their families, they sewed seeds into the hems of their skirts and they hid them in their pockets. Wow. And they made sure that we had seeds for future generations. So when I'm growing out this corn today, I have to give thanks to those women who made such a sacrifice to make sure that they protected those seeds. So that's the lesson and the teaching that I was trying to carry forward in this book.
Well, I think it's really interesting, too, the scenario of this young girl.
Rosalie Ironwing.
That yeah. she was mm-hmm. with her family, and then at 5 years old, she went somewhere and then had to come back and learn this stuff. I think that's really happens a lot in our community.
Yes, yes. This is the work of cultural recovery. And to me, the seeds and our indigenous foods are one of the most profound ways we can do this healing work.
Yeah. How did you come up with Rosalie Ironwing? Is she somebody you know? Did you make her up? Is she you? Yeah. And we don't want you to give up too much for the, you know, our listening audience. We want them to read the book, so kind of leave yeah. a little bit of a mystery.
Right.
Well, I think all of the characters in the book are a composite. So part of, and for Rosalie in particular, part of what she is demonstrating in her life is this learning journey where you've come to a place as a result of all the assimilation experiences that your family has had. And she's come to a place, she's been through foster care, she has, her family has been through boarding school, and there is so little left of the knowledge, but there is enough. There is enough of a thread to the past that's what begins to pull her on her journey that brings her back to her family and her community. And one of the guides on that journey are these seeds.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many stories that this character is missed out because we talk about the stars, we talk about all these stories yeah. that and seeds that surround, you know. And one of the things, too, you know, we talk about the three grandmothers, and I wonder if you could tell our audience a little bit about that.
The three sisters.
I'm
the
sorry, yes.
Yeah. Three grandmothers, that works for me. I relate. So the three sisters is... It's a beautiful way of gardening where you grow your corn, your beans, and your squash in what is a collaborative relationship between the three plants. And really, if you think about it, native gardeners were the first to invent what is now called permaculture, mm-hmm. where you grow plants in organic gardening and permaculture. Native gardeners have been doing that for thousands of years. So the beautiful arrangement in a three sisters garden is that the beans will fix the nitrogen in the soil that the corn needs to grow. The corn provides this tall stalk for the beans to wrap around and grow tall. And then the squash shades the roots and helps keep out the weeds. So together they make this perfect union that is also nutritionally whole food for our families.
Amazing. It really is amazing. And, it's so sad today that, we're using GMOs and all these, yeah. Artificial ways to grow our food where, you know, years ago, the natives just knew how to do it. Robert and I went to a place, I can't remember where it was, and we learned about that. It was like a little village. Do you remember that?
No.
It was like a little village, and we went there, and they had teepees, and we walked around.
Oh,
and
I know you're talking about Gibbs Farm.
Gibbs Farm, oh. Yeah. And they taught us about that there. And I remember, you know, years ago when we went there, I was amazed by that. I was like, this is so simple and makes so much sense. Why aren't we still doing this?
Yeah, because, you know, our legacy as Native people is that we've been brilliant agriculturalists for thousands of years. And these seeds that our ancestors were so careful to protect, these seeds hold that original genetic material that's been protected. And that is so precious these days. And it's so much healthier than a lot of the foods that you find now in your grocery store.
Do you feel like there's a renaissance of this thinking? I think, you know,
yes.
You know, our culture kind of a couple generations with the government trying to get rid of us and, you know, all the colonization thinking of our people. Yeah. I think the Gen Zs and the young people are going to really bring things back. And I've seen it as a high school teacher that these kids are a lot prouder being Native American than I was in the 70s and 60s because it wasn't cool.
Yeah, I totally agree. The even 15 years ago, there was so little happening in terms of the indigenous food movement. And now we've got incredible chefs who are developing, finally, a recognized Native American cuisine. So that's long overdue.
Right, and the berries and the teas and the roots. I always want to say roots, but it's roots.
Depends on where you're from.
Exactly.
Right. Well, Wendy's from New York, so she always looks at me kind of funny when I say roots. But this is exciting. So the book is called Seed Keeper.
The Seed Keeper.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's going to be coming out on March 9th. And you have a launch going on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so tomorrow night, this is an online event, of course, at 7 o'clock Central. We have an hour launch in which we'll play a video poem created for the poem that opens the book, in which the seeds themselves speak. And they ask about that relationship, that original agreement that human beings had with seeds. So we have a video poem. We have, I'll be reading a couple of short excerpts and talking about the book. And then I've invited two Dakota writers to also read with me just to uplift their work. They're emerging writers and they'll have their first books coming out within the next year or two.
Wow, we're here and we are really, we're here with...
We're here with Diane Ross.
Thank you.
And we're talking about The Seed Keeper. She is the author of, and it's a very interesting story. We have to go to commercial break, and we'll be talking with Diane as soon as we get back.
There you go. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry. We have vital information we would like to share with you. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on testing sites, isolation space, vaccines, housing assistance, and food resources. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19 or has questions to determine if you should get tested, please call them at 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 950.
Hey, Cudigee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, Certified Financial Planner with RBC Wealth Management. You might think you have to give up performance to invest responsibly, but that simply isn't true. Responsible investing can actually have a positive impact on performance. We will work with you to come up with a strategy that matches your values. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Cloudy overnight tonight with a low of 44. Then on Tuesday, a glorious day with sunshine and 68 degrees. Cafe Latte at Victoria and Grand in St. Paul offers an award-winning assortment of sandwiches, salads and soups, a pizza and wine bar, and treats from the bakery made fresh daily. Check them out at cafelatte.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, we have an author on today, Wendy, Diane Wilson of The Seed Keeper. And, you know, I'm perusing through the book, and I love how it's, you know, nowadays, I guess 2002 is not nowadays, but I'm old, so that just seems like a few years ago. And then it goes back and forth, and that's, I really love that kind of historical kind of writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I when you look up The Seed Keeper, it says a haunting novel spanning several generations. The Seed Keeper follows a Dakota family's struggle to preserve their way of life and their sacrifices to protect what matters most. I love that.
Yeah. Diane, I have a question for you about writing before we get back into the book and the what's happening. So how do you write? Do you write in the morning? Do you write a certain amount of pages? Like I've seen a writer who she talked about write 2 pages a day. You know, mm-hmm. how what is your game plan when you write?
Well, in the ideal world, I like to write first thing in the morning while it's still dark. So to get up at 5 and write, because I also, because I still work for a nonprofit, I would write, say, from 5 to 7 or 8. So then I've given what is my fresh energy that's right out of dreams to the writing. And then I can go about whatever I need to get done the day.
Yeah, I was going to ask, does any of your ideas for your books come from dreams? So you kind of just answered that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, and that's really, really our native way, too. I mean, I was named because my Choka dreamt my name, you know. So that's really, that's deep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where our writing lives. And then language. Sometimes I've dreamt I'll hear words, I'll hear language being spoken. So that's the energy that I want to bring into the writing, because that's where you get that more poetic, the more lyrical, dreamlike writing.
Wow, interesting. I love that. Yeah. I really do. Could you tell us a little bit about the non-profit? Well, I don't know if it's a non-profit, but it's the organization that you're the executive director for, the Native American Food Sovereignty Alliance. Could you tell us a little bit about that? I'd love you to talk about that.
Well, it's such a perfect fit with writing. So I think of all of the work that I do as the same work. It's just in different ways, different tools. So we call it NAFSA, Native American Food Sovereignty Alliance. It's a national coalition of Native individuals, tribes, organizations who are all working together to rebuild sovereign food systems. So seed work is definitely a really fundamental program of doing this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that, you know, on your book launch on March 9th at 7 p.m. Central, there's a poem, a video poem by Missy Whiteman. And I know her father had passed away, I think over a year ago, but he was huge in the gardening and helping our young people really learn about gardening. So it's really a great kind of combination to have her do this video for you. Plus, she's a great filmmaker.
And so you knew Ernie Whiteman?
I've met him. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He's big in the community. I mean, many of my students have worked for them. Yeah. And he,
Well, I worked with Ernie for 11 years. And then I actually dedicated the Seed Keeper to him.
Aww.
Yeah, because he was such a profound teacher and elder for all of us. I learned so much from Ernie. So to be able to continue his work by working with his daughter to create the video poem, to me is just, again, that's how we do it. We just keep, he took such care to prepare his daughter and all of us for the time when he wouldn't be here so that we would carry forward his teachings.
Yeah. It says, for the seed keepers, the dreamers of wild health, in memory of Ernie Whiteman. Yeah. Because that's the organization, the Dream of Wild Health, right?
Yes. That's where I worked before NAFSA.
Oh, cool. Wow. So, you know, let's talk a little bit, you know, about your partnering organizations that are helping you really rejuvenate, and you know, it's great because I know a lot of allies, non-Native allies, are very interested in doing and supporting Native Americans in a good way, and it's really it's awesome to have a book like this that they could read and really get clued in on how we do things.
Yeah, well, back, I think it was in January when we were watching just how hard hit our communities were by this pandemic and how much people were struggling and suffering and the issue with not only the illness, but hunger as well. And so we started to talk about what can we do to just help uplift the parts of our culture that really help us get through hard times. And so seeds became an immediate focus. And then we realized how many other how many other art forms are inspired by seeds as well. So we connected with storytellers, with Keith Sokola, the musician, with a seed farmer who's going to teach planting, with the youth group. So Dream of Wild Health is a partner, NAFS is a partner, All My Relations Gallery, the Hennepin County Libraries, Birch Bark Books, and Milkweed Edition. So we brought together this really beautiful coalition of organizations who just pitched in, and we put up this full Seed Week in less than 2 months.
Wow, that's awesome. And then that reminds me, too, that you mentioned some of your partners like Birch Bark. I couldn't read my handwriting.
One of us could talk today.
I couldn't read my handwriting because I just wrote that down. Yeah. Where else can they pick up this book? And will it be after the 9th?
It's available now. It's out. And Birch Bark Books is one of my favorite places to send people because it's an independent bookstore that really focuses on Native authors. And Milkweed Editions is another place. I say support those independent publishers and bookstores. Stay away from Amazon if you can.
We agree 100%. Yeah, it's hard to do, but we agree. And I know I know Birch Bark Books, that was hard to say today. It has a lot of other fun stuff in the store too.
Yes.
Put your mask on and check out not only the books, but they have a lot of cool stuff.
You know, I was reading about seeds, and they have like a doomsday vault that has seeds. 930,000 varieties of food crops in this in Norway. It's kept
Svalbard.
Yeah,
yeah, that's not our way.
No, I know.
You know, to put. I mean, I understand they're putting away seeds in the event of a catastrophe, a natural catastrophe that wipes out everything.
Yeah.
But the best way to preserve your seeds is actually to share them, to make sure that they're being grown out by other gardeners, that you're eating the food and you're sharing them back. So that way, that if my garden gets wiped out, say, by raccoons, that maybe somebody's garden 5 miles away is going to have a full crop, and we're able to keep those seeds sustained. So they were always meant to be shared. They were always meant to be a way to bring community together.
I like that idea a lot better than having a doomsday vault.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, too. Where does somebody... Like, I know I was talking to you earlier today, and I know, like, Ho-Chunk Nation, and with cooperation of DNR, handed out seeds, but it's still, you're wondering, man, are these, like, have GMO in it, even though they look like beautiful seeds? And then I've had people hand me non-GMO corn, and, you know, I've given it to people that are really, you know, because we're not growing stuff in our backyard, but I've given it to other Native people that are putting these gardens on these gardens. And so how do we find a real pure seed?
So buy organic always. Other seeds are at risk of being covered with all kinds of chemicals. So just buy organic, first of all, and then buy heirloom. So then that way you're getting these seeds that haven't been crossbred or bred with another species, genetically modified. Native Seed or Seed Savers in Iowa has a very extensive catalog of heirloom seeds, and they carry a number of native varieties as well. Those are my two tips: organic and heirloom.
Nice.
So we got a couple minutes left, and I really want to let you talk about what you need to talk about. I'm just really excited to read this book because it's about now, it's about our past, and it's about our future, you know, by eating food that's real food.
Yeah, remind our listening audience, too, about the Zoom event tomorrow night.
Yeah. So tomorrow night is the launch event for the Seed Keeper at 7 o'clock Central. You can sign up for the webinar at allmyrelationsarts.com. And it'll be an hour, and we'll have a video poem, we'll have readings, we'll have two other Dakota writers. And the one thing I'd really like to say about this book is that seeds these days, like so much else, have become very politicized. The whole discussion around genetically modified seeds versus heirloom seeds versus organic has been taken and become just another marketing-driven, politicized argument that divides people. And the big point I wanted to make in the way that I wrote this book is that it's about relationship. This is a way of expressing mitakuye owasi. We are all related.
Oh.
So what I try to show in the book is see how our relationship has changed from the time when these Dakota women were so concerned they hid them in their skirts to the time now where, you know, so much knowledge has been displaced that relationship is what has changed. And it's that relationship that when we begin to reclaim that, that's when we're doing the healing work, the cultural recovery.
Well, Diane Wilson, the seed keeper of the book, Pini Gigi, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
When you're trying to stay safe, you want the best protection possible. And when it comes to PPE, that means Lutema. Made in the USA with the highest quality materials, Lutema has mask sizes for all. Lutema masks pass ASTM Level 3 and NIOSH efficiency standards and come in a wide variety of colors and types, including M95i. Get your American-made face mask at Lutema.com. That's Lutema.com. And get 40% off your first purchase single item with promo code RADIO at Lutema.com.
Hey, Cudigy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. At Victor's 1959 Cafe, you'll get an authentic taste of Cuban culture right here in South Minneapolis. Try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout along with gift cards. Learn more at Victor's1959Cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
This is Winona the Duke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are a Lucid Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
There we go.
That's when your dog should have been barking, right? They always come in there. They don't know their cues. Yeah.
They don't know their cues.
I know the cat's meowing at the.
What a great interview.
Yeah,
great job,
honestly,
Wendy.
Diane Wilson, The Seed Keeper. Really a very interesting book. And
Not Diane Ross. Fifth Dimension.
Diane Wilson, author of The Seed Keeper. You could pick it up at, which the name of the bookstore?
Oh, Birch Bark Books. Yes. And there's three B's in there, and I had really, like, I don't know.
But it's really interesting about the seeds that they're, you know, they're natural. There is no GMO, and they've, you know, kept them that way for years and years and years.
Why don't we talk a little animal, sacred animal stuff, Wendy?
Absolutely.
And then we'll all kind of round table it at the very end here. But give us a update, because
I'll give you a quick update. You know, I've been talking about this hunt, this wolf hunt in Wisconsin. It's really weighing heavy on my mind about how many wolves were killed for no reason. They were all trophy hunters. And I found an article, it was just published a couple of days ago by One Green Planet, and it was written by Katie I can't see her last name, Strenies. She's the program manager of the Wildlife Protection of the Humane Society of the United States. So she wrote this article. She was just talking about the six most trophy hunted animals in the United States. And I was wondering if you had any idea what those six might be. Or
bear, deer, elk, moose.
Close. Yeah. Bears,
yeah.
Wolves, yeah. Mountain lions,
oh,
bobcats,
oh,
coyotes,
God.
And foxes.
Oh.
Yeah, so these are the six most trophy hunted animals in the United States. Each year, trophy hunters kill hundreds of thousands of American native carnivores. And bears, wolves, mountain lions, bobcats, coyotes, and foxes are their principal victims. The primary motivation for these hunters is to obtain heads, hides, claws, or even their whole bodies for displaying and bragging. Trophy hunters use cruel methods like baiting, hounding, that's when they use the hound dogs to go after the animal, night vision scopes, and even electronic calling devices that mimic the sound of young animals or prey in distress to lure their animals out in the open so that it could be an easy kill. So let's just talk about the bear, for instance. Black bears are highly sentient and spend prolonged periods raising, bonding with, and nurturing their cubs in the fall, the very season in which they should be focused on feeding for hibernation. Bears instead must hide from trophy hunters who rely on hounding, baiting, trapping, and targeting mothers and newborn cubs. In Alaska, trophy hunters are even allowed to kill black bears while they're asleep in their dens. Trophy hunters in Alaska also killed 400 brown bears in 2019 alone. It's the only state that allows the killing of brown and grizzly bears. Some states also allow springtime bear hunting, leaving tiny cubs orphaned and at risk for dying from starvation, predation, or exposure. So that's pretty bad about the bears. But coyotes, every year roughly 500,000 coyotes, highly misunderstood native carnivores, are shot, poisoned, trapped, and even gunned down from airplanes by trophy hunters and government agencies, and slaughtered for entertainment prizes in wildlife killing contests. And I know a lot of people have heard me talk about these wildlife killing contests. Investigations of killing contests by the Humane Society of the United States in, listen to all these states, New York, New Jersey, Oregon, Virginia, Indiana, and Texas have revealed gruesome images of coyotes tossed in dumpsters after prizes are awarded. In most states, coyotes can be killed all year long in unlimited numbers, even though wildlife management professionals and scientists acknowledge that random killing serves no legitimate wildlife management purpose. So there you go. That's the sad story about the coyotes.
Wow. Thank you, Pini Gigi. Wow.
Mountain lions, you want to hear about them? No, you don't want to hear about mountain lions. Okay, mountain lions, wolves, bobcats, and foxes, they're all in danger. And what you can do to help them, if you live in a state that hunts these animals, please call your legislator and ask them.
It's just terrible and depressing to hear that.
It really is. I'm sorry. It's the truth, though. And sometimes you need to know the truth so that you can act.
Well, we had a great guest today.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to swing back to that. You know, it's hard because, like, we're talking about, you know, preserving the seeds and talking the seeds, and then we have all these trophy hunters. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just like...
It's a different mindset. It's yeah. a different person. It's a different yeah. type of mind that... the person who's hunting, trophy hunting, it doesn't care about seeds and
right.
preserving
exactly.
preserving anything for the future.
Exactly.
You know, this is a different mindset. And most hunters, people who hunt for food and, you know, deer hunt and, you know, do that, they are against trophy hunting.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
but so. I was just reading the Facebook stuff and wow, we have a lot of smart people that were asking questions that, of course, I didn't see, but from mm-hmm. all over Turtle Island. So it's really exciting that we see all these people check in, and with your daily sacred animal section, it just warms my heart. It's hard to hear all these things. Mm-hmm. But then we have an uplifting story about keeping seeds and the mm-hmm. things that have happened in the last 15 years mm-hmm. and people that are really trying to preserve a way of life mm-hmm. and a way of thinking.
So this week, I think what I'll do is I'll talk about uplifting and more positive things when it comes to animals. How about that?
Yeah, that's cool. You know, do whatever you want. I just think, you know, it's hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
It's people do need to hear it. So
they do.
I don't have a problem with that at all. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, we had a great guest on, and we were going to talk a little bit about that too.
You know, I loved what she said, that when I mentioned the vault, that there's, you know, 930,000 different types of seeds that are kept in this vault. It's like under the ground in case of a catastrophic catastrophe. And she said that's not how
our way.
We want to share the seeds. We want to use the seeds. We want to grow the seeds. We want to eat the food from those seeds. And if my garden is attacked, you know, a couple of raccoons take my garden down, I want, you know, my neighbor who I gave these seeds to be able to grow the seeds, and for all these people to have the seeds and to take care of them and to, you know, not put pesticides on them and to grow them organically and to use this food to nurture your body.
Right. Right. Exactly. And, you know, yeah, it's just hard to think about. I'm back to the animals.
back to the animals.
I'm like, wow, you know,
yeah.
it's
well,
really
it is.
Hard.
It's sad, you know, and there's a lot of people out there who don't really care about animals, and they just get a thrill, you know, of killing them and hanging their bodies in their house.
Yeah. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts, Wendy. If you are listening to this show, you are part of the resistance, and you need to hear things like that. Mm-hmm. From Chief Plentycoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Pinigigi to our guest, Diane Wilson, and her book, The Seed Keeper. Pinigigi to Wendy and Ogama for everything you do every day for Native Roots Radio and all across Turtle Island. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.